Let's sit.
No more.
Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk. Today is Let's Talk Business with your host, Jai Lawton.
Hello and welcome to the very first edition of Let's Talk Business for 2023. My name is Jai Lawton, a Bidjara man from Central West Queensland and your host for the weekly Let's Talk Business series. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we broadcast here in the West End of Brisbane and all across the country, wherever you are listening. I'd also like to acknowledge the unceded sovereignty of all First Nations people across the many nations in this continent and acknowledge all elders, past and present. As you have heard, we are changing the way we're doing Let's Talk in 2023 with a range of new hosts for each day of Let's Talk. Today, we'll be talking all things Indigenous business, and we'll hear from Indigenous businesses from across the country, from all industries and sectors. First up, we have Dr. Michelle Evans, the Director of Dilindua, the Centre for Indigenous Business Leadership out of the University of Melbourne and the Melbourne Business School. Hello and welcome to the program, Michelle.
Hey, Jai. Thanks for having me on. This is an exciting new program. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's great. Can you tell us about your cultural connections?
Yeah, sure. I'm a Koori woman from the Hunter Valley in New South Wales. I was born on a Wabakal country and grew up in Wanneroo country, and also paying my respects to Wiradjuri country, which is where me and my family live now in Bungambawatha, or what's now known as Albury, New South Wales.
Beautiful part of the world. Can you tell us a little bit about Dilindua?
Yeah, so Dilindua, it's a phrase from the Woiwurrung language, a part of the Wurundjeri Land and Cultural Council. Arnie Gale worked with us on trying to come up with a name that encapsulated this idea of bringing together not only, you know, research around Indigenous business and leadership, but also our program work and working in regional and remote Australia. And so this idea of Dilindua, which means everlasting flow, this idea that between each of these areas in which we all work across a range of areas, that we do have a very generative and everlasting flow between them, that they all inspire each other, all of the work that we do from our personal lives, our community lives, and into our working lives. And I guess that really sums up the idea of Dilindua. It is about contributing to an economically powerful Indigenous Australia, and the way in which we go about doing that is through our research into Indigenous business across Australia and internationally, and also leadership, and our educational programs around Indigenous business development and leadership development, and our community engagement work, where we're really prioritising making sure that remote and regional Australia have opportunities to engage in excellent Indigenous business education across Australia.
Yeah, it's such a critical role, and, you know, a big credit to yourself and the team there, because it hasn't been, you know, shortcoming. It's been a long time in the making to make all of this happen and to bring it all together. So, well done to you and the team.
Thanks, Jai.
No worries. You've mentioned there a few things around the regional, the importance of the regional series and all those sort of different things. So what are some of the key priorities for Dilindua in 2023?
Yeah, and just to pick up on something you just said, Jai, I mean, Dilindua has been a long time coming, and it comes from a real a push and a wish, a demand, if you would call that, from the business sector perspective, from the Indigenous business sector itself, through the voices of our Murra Indigenous Business Masterclass alumni, wanting to see more and more, have a place to come and to have some conversations and to push ideas and policy, to request research to be done around Indigenous business, and to have our own sort of academy, if you will. And we had a wonderful gathering of 50 Indigenous business leaders back in 2019, and out of that came the structure for Dilindua. And again, just most recently last year at the Murrah Alumni Reunion, just reinforcing the different kind of parts that we can play, and we can also create spaces for Indigenous business leaders across Australia to really have that platform, whether it's through, you know, online platforms or regional series. And I guess the regional series is a real passion project for myself and the alumni who have been involved in it, of really being able to make connections and build an ecosystem with business owners and managers and leaders who are working in regional parts of Australia and don't have necessarily direct access to Indigenous business education or haven't participated yet in the Murrah program. They might be more business kind of curious, thinking about business or really, you know, well-established sometimes in their local regional area. Last year, we started with the Mpantwa regional series in Alice Springs, and it was just fantastic. And yourself, Jai, you're a participant in that, a lecturer in that, a leader. And I think for me, the piece that really is so important, I mean, workshops and business education is fantastic, but it's the dialogues that we have with regional Indigenous business leaders talking about what matters in this place that we are at in regional Australia and how it connects to some of the broader, you know, themes and challenges across the Indigenous business sector.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I think that's a testament to the success of everything that's going on with Dylan Duwar is the power of, you know, that's the alumni that drive it and you know, seeing the power in the room with those 50 Indigenous businesses last year and the connection and the networks created there, and then, you know, Dylan Duwar doing the hard work in terms of administrating and operationalising those ideas is, there's certainly some magic to it. So, it's been and it's going to be a big 2023 by the sounds of it. So what sort of – is there any future stuff, regional series or anything coming up?
Yeah, we're really excited. We'll be doing a regional series in regional Victoria, which we're really looking forward to, and also in regional Western Australia up in the Kimberley. And I think, you know, especially with the recent floods, the cutting of the roads and supply chain issues, I mean, it's absolutely essential that we have these conversations in the Indigenous business sector in regional parts of Australia. And I guess, you know, that's one of the major challenges for the Indigenous business sector, moreover, is that lack of infrastructure and the issue around digital access and also high transportation costs that really do make such challenging certain contexts, I guess, for regional Indigenous businesses as compared to urban-based businesses. So I think, you know, for us, understanding that, listening to those stories, hearing where the push is, what the ideas are from regional Indigenous business owners and leaders, that's the real exciting part for this year. And of course, we'll be running the Murrah program. We're going to start in May. And we're just running it one time this year, Jai. And we're going back to once a year. And we're slowing down a little bit. But we're going to have a bigger cohort, Jai. We're going to try to move from about 20-odd people in the room to maybe over 30 or possibly up to 40 people. I think, you know, shifting the needle on some of these ideas of how you convene a cohort will be great, because it is about making those networks across Australia about who comes to the Murrah program and their experience together and what they learn from each other. That's the real magic in the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those that don't know, the Murrah Indigenous Business Masterclass is it's an opportunity for people all across the country, Indigenous business leaders from all across the country, to come and experience Melbourne Business School and the faculty there. But the power also is, as you said, is in the room with the mob from all across the country, and that networking and that relationship that each generation has is really magical. So looking forward to to May and seeing another generation of mob graduate. And speaking of that, you know, the Murra Indigenous Business Masterclass is something I've been fortunate to play a role in. And now, you know, as you said, they had the 10-year reunion where we've seen over 200 alumni now of these deadly people doing deadly things in their own communities, in their own spaces. Can you give the listeners a feel for the diverse range of businesses from across the country?
Yeah, no, that's, and it is good to think about, you know, the sector is super diverse, meaning that if we just think about the industries that businesses move in, I mean, the biggest part of the Indigenous business sector, and certainly we've had quite a few in Murra, are construction type services. And so there's so many, you know, national and regional kind of infrastructure projects going on all over Australia, and that certainly leans to that sort of industry. But, you know, we have tourism businesses, we've got professional services businesses. I mean, we've had, I think there's one guy up there in the Brisbane area who's running an incredible sort of high-end defence police dog training program, as he's got a very he does very like cadaver dog training, very specific kind of business. We've got people who are, you know, doing landscaping, fantastic businesses, electrical businesses. We've had I really am hoping. Last year, Jai, we were really excited in the Indigenous Business Month Awards to award to a seaweed company, traditional owner seaweed company on the south coast in New South Wales. I think this is a growing area in the integration between, you know, traditional owner corporations and their business arms. This is exciting. Mm. I mean, we've got loads of apparel companies, and the whole Indigenous fashion area has really grown, and education and training, of course, and lots of people working, giving that professional advice, I guess, and loads of arts and cultural businesses, of course. But it's just, as you say, it is diverse, and it is exciting every year to learn about the new businesses, and really what that is how that individual entrepreneur, you know, conceives of what they've got to do, what they're great at, and who they want to work with in the market, and how they make a business out of that. I mean, it's just endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, it's unreal to see. And I think, you know, because stereotypically people will think, you know, Indigenous businesses are largely culture and arts, which, as you said, there are some of those, but we are represented across, you know, just about every industry and sector out there. So it is super important to recognise. And like you said, yeah, everyone from those real niche sort of areas. And it's so deadly to see that this sector is growing.
It is. And the financial services area in terms of Indigenous businesses, it's been fascinating to watch that. Of course, Indigenous accountants, and gosh, and what we want to see more of and grow over a period of time is the whole Indigenous agricultural industry. I mean, that's super small at the moment, but there's going to be great changes across our nation over the next 3 to 5 years to 10 years to 20 years, and having more First Nations people having those sort of agricultural land-based, water-based businesses will really change the nature of the business sector.
Absolutely. And you're listening to Let's Talk Business, where we're talking all things Indigenous business with our guest today, Dr. Michelle Evans, the director of Dylan Duwa, the Centre for Indigenous Business Leadership. So, Michelle, we have seen the emergence of, you know, apart from the good and powerful things that Indigenous business brings, it does bring some challenges as well. And we've seen the emergence of, you know, unethical practices of non-Indigenous businesses misrepresenting as Indigenous businesses, which the term coined as black cladding, as many people know. And there's a range of other different issues that's come about in recent times. What do you sort of see as the business challenges that we're going to face as a sector in the future?
It's a good question. And as you say, there are so many challenges. Black cladding is an incredible issue because it erodes trust in Indigenous businesses, moreover. And I think, you know, as we've been trying to write a little bit about, trust is the biggest challenge for Indigenous business sector. And that's a historical piece, as we all know. It continues to really create a lot of conflict and perceive conflict, whether it's a perception that Aboriginal businesses, Torres Strait Islander businesses, shouldn't be having individual profit motives, that it should just all be cultural and collective motivations towards their business, and that goes to, you know, shape how Aboriginal businesses are perceived. But I think the legacy of colonisation really does erode trust. But also, we have to think about the issues to do with access to finance. Mm-hmm. And that is also another element of this exact same issue. How many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander businesses do have a great relationship with a commercial bank. You know, a lot of the newer research that's coming out from all of our different financial institutions are really needing to focus on this area, and that a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander businesses are just bootstrapping, Jai. They're kind of making do with what they've got, with their own ideas and their own kind of expertise and cultural connections and cultural knowledge, and creating a business from that part and then building it up from zero. And I think that there is a piece around managing finance that I think is still a challenge that we see in the Murra program. A lot of people are feeling, you know, a little bit shy or worried or anxious around the idea of money, of making profits. And this is all linked. And I think the big piece that we're trying to address is that perhaps the invisibility up until more recent times of Indigenous businesses in the business sector, moreover, it makes it really difficult to promote exactly what you've asked me to talk about today, the diversity and the breadth and range of Indigenous businesses. And if you can't see the sector and its diversity and its impact, then it's really difficult to build trust and design effective, you know, financial tools and policies to support and supercharge the sector.
Yeah, absolutely. And that talks again to the, you know, the powerful role that Dylan Dewar does provide in terms of having that really strong sample of Indigenous businesses that can start to shape and influence policy. Because as we know, you know, government don't have the best track record of developing these policies, and we need to be directly, you know, impacting and developing these policies from the community and from the ground up. That's what we know works best. And yeah, it speaks to the important role that is played in that, and the research as well, to understand and get more visibility of the sector, I suppose.
Exactly. And you know, that across the nation, Joe, we've been calling out for, you know, data to show a visibility of the Indigenous business sector since the, you know, early report in 2008 by the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs. I mean, the number one recommendation is to do, you know, a data on the sector in order to understand what we know is a sizable economic contribution to the Australian economy, to show that. And it is so very difficult, and it will take us a long time and a lot of collaboration and partnership to continue to build that data set, to have an Indigenous data sovereignty framework around it, and to understand it and use it, have Indigenous business leaders use that to fuel the influence that they want to have on exactly what you said. Where do we want the policy, and what do we want the governments to respond to in terms of Indigenous business sector? What are our priorities? What are the themes that we want to push about? That's where we want to see the voice happening in the Indigenous business sector, because they're such strong, incredible business leaders out there who do have a lot of influence and have a collective kind of push on a range of things, especially around finance and access to finance, is absolutely essential right now.
Absolutely. And I'd love to see, you know, the national dialogue sort of come together, because, you know, there is a lot of players. There's your local Indigenous chambers, there's your state-based chambers, there's your, you know, your statutory bodies like your, you know, ILSC and Indigenous Business Australia, and it'd be great to bring it all together and come through and have some really good dialogue to talk about. You know, we've seen what we can do in 2 days with 50 businesses at Murra. So to get everyone together and work through those complex challenges, which we know they are, is certainly something that I'd personally like to see over the next few years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, when you think about how do we overcome the challenges, that's the only way, isn't it? It's I mean, yes, people, different organisations and Indigenous business ecosystem organisations can do their piece, and they must. And it's absolutely essential that every single one of those organisations does incredibly well and that we support each other. But the power comes when people come together for that dialogue, Jai. And that's where you're not only kind of narrating the challenges and having that everyone kind of chip in and talk about exactly that from their embodied experience, but then be able to together think about the future of the Indigenous business sector and what it looks like.
Absolutely. And we've got so many knowledgeable people out there, and those that have been in business for decades, even prior to, you know, procurement policies coming in place. You know, I'm talking your Jasmine Heroes, your David Williams, Arnie Pat Torres. Then there's more and more all across the country that have so much knowledge that can, you know, that really should be shaping and influencing the future direction of where we're heading.
Exactly. And, of course, all of the younger entrepreneurs, you know. We just had 23 16-year-olds at Dillandua for the National Indigenous Business Summer School, and I can tell you now, the future looks really bright. I mean, the sort of ideas around developing a sub-brand of an Indigenous fashion label, it was incredible. And, you know, I'm just hats off that these young people are able to not only grasp the content, which is a university level, but then kind of present their ideas about where things could move into the future from their perspectives. It's really exciting, and I think there's much more that we can do as a sector to encourage, you know, that entrepreneurial mindset from education from a younger age, you know, primary school even. I mean, there's so many great things that could really change the game and teach us, our generations, you know, a lot about how to think differently and how to have that intersection between Indigenous knowledges and commercial realities in Australia.
Yeah, they're so critical, our young people, for our future generation. And, you know, we know that Indigenous, the population is quite significantly younger as opposed to the general population. And I don't know, there is inspiration that comes from them. They're less corrupted by, you know, by the world and all other things, and full of inspiration, full of disruption, full of innovation. And, yeah, we certainly need to foster that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's going to be making sure that those voices are heard when a national dialogue comes together, I think will be very pivotal.
In the political landscape, Michelle, you know, we've got this, you know, we're starting to get the swell of, you know, the Indigenous voice and the referendum and all things. What role do you see as Indigenous business playing in all of that?
Look, I think, you know, so many individuals will obviously play their own individual political role and community role in that, and whatever way in which they wish to do that. But I think for Indigenous businesses, I mean, I look to businesses like Laura Thompson's Clothing the Gaps. Is incredible why she set that firm. It's not just Laura, it's the firm, her her co-business partner and all of the people. She's got 30 people working for her now who are kind of having a conversation using apparel to make points and to using those, you know, teas as a way to open up a conversation. I think that's an incredible role that business can have. I think business, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander business, needs to step up and start to support some of the grassroots campaigning, because we do have a lot of businesses who are doing incredibly well, Jai, and who are out there. And, you know, we have been seeing over the past few years Indigenous investors coming in now, Indigenous business investors trying to invest in other, you know, new ideas, new Indigenous business ideas. And I think, you know, that's an important role to play in sponsoring and supporting. But also, you know, a lot of our Indigenous business leaders are at the front line with corporate Australia, having conversations every day with their partners in a business sense. So they're having conversations about the referendum, no doubt. Like, it obviously will be coming up, and so their voices and how they are speaking to corporate Australia on that one-to-one relational aspect is hugely important. So I think that the Indigenous business sector is playing a really important role in the next year ahead.
Yeah, big shout out to Laura and the Clothing the Gaps team and the role that her business is playing and using that platform to elevate voices around different important issues. And tomorrow is January 26th, and you know, we as AAA, we're hosting alongside the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance an activation and on both ovals of Musgrave Park, and we'll have 20 plus Indigenous businesses there. We've got stalls there that's facilitated by a local Indigenous business herself and First Nations startup. So if you want to get down and support both Indigenous and non-Indigenous and buy a whole range of things from different businesses, please head down to Musgrave Park for January 26th for the original 100 countdown. And more importantly, also make sure you head to the marches and the rallies to really shine a light on the issues that are happening around the country. There's a lot of important messages there for mob to hear. And just looking forward to, Michelle, and you know I love this question, but I want to transport you in time to 50 years from now. It's 2073. What does Indigenous business look like?
I think it is a really thriving major a part of the Australian economy. It is circular in nature, in the fact that it is Indigenous corporations and businesses and families and communities all kind of working and employing each other and buying from each other and circulating that and building up absolute flourishing prosperity into the future. I think there will possibly be more of the same of what we've got, where the spectrum between those people who are doing really well are doing great, but people who are not are really not doing well. And we need to, in the next 50 years, really focus on that by building that circular economy, our Indigenous economy, in a really strong way.
That's an awesome answer to that question, because it is such a big question. But I think if we can start to, you know, encapsulate that vision and start to work towards that, you know, it is, we know the role that business plays just generally in the economy, but we know the role Indigenous business plays within our communities and how financial independence can play such a pivotal role in achieving self-determination and all other things. So thank you so much for coming onto the program today, Michelle, and we thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jai. Have a good one.
Thank you. You've been listening to Let's Talk, and if you want to hear more from today or catch another episode of Let's Talk, head on to the website at AAA.org.au. Thank you.
No more whispering in our mind. Let's Talk, Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on AAA Murray Country, the National Indigenous Radio Service and iHeartRadio. You can catch up on AAA.org.au, proudly supported by the Community Broadcast Foundation.